Okay, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Parshas Bereishis, Tav Shin Ayin Zayin. Wow. Baruch Shachiyanu V'kimanu V'giyanu L'zman HaZeh. Okay, so the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, first he thinks, the end of his, he has a Hakdama. It's not a very long Hakdama. But at the end of the Hakdama, he wants to thank the people who made the Or HaChaim HaKadosh possible. Actually, some interesting things have been written about this. He thanks his four donors. Gotta thank your sponsors. So you can see that he thanks the people who helped him to make the publication of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh possible. And then he ends off by saying, I'm sure you're curious why I decided to name my sefer Or HaChaim. So he writes in the paragraph that begins, V'karasi Shem HaChibur, at the end of the Hakdama. V'karasi Shem HaChibur Sefer Or HaChaim. Ki a Torah nikris Or. The Torah is called Or. Ki ner mitzvah Torah Or. Ulevi sheyesh kama dvarim sheyesiach eslam Or haner v'Or haShemesh v'ayareach v'kochavim. But because Or can mean a lot of different things, there's the light of the sun, there's the light of the moon, there's the light of a candle, there's the light of the stars. So therefore, I want to be clear that the light that I'm describing here is the greatest light, the light that encompasses all holy things. So therefore, I decided to name my sefer Or HaChaim. Shem zeh miyuchas l'borei olam, hanikra chaim. That my work is dedicated to expounding and to explaining and to connecting us to the borei olam, who is called Chaim. Hashem is referred to as a melech Chaim. Chaim also alludes to the Torah, because the Torah is also called a Torah's Chaim. Torah's Chacham Mekor Chaim. So of course I chose the word Chaim because it alludes to Hashem, it alludes to His Torah. And of course, last but not least, it alludes to the Tzadikim. U'latzadikim anikram Chaim, d'chsiv atem advekim b'Hashem Chaim kulchem hayom. That one who attaches himself to Hashem is called Chaim. V'amechulam Tzadikim, and if every Jew is a Tzadik, then I guess what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is really saying here is that the Torah and Hashem and the Jewish people are all one. And the Mirtz Hashem, through the teachings that he's going to share with us, so there'll be an Or, there'll be an illumination of Hashem, there'll be an illumination of the Torah, and there'll be an illumination of ourselves and our very souls. So that's why the Sefer is called Or HaChaim, the light of Chaim. The light of Chaim being the light of Hashem, the light of Torah, and the light of the Tzaddikim, and really the potential for all of us to become Tzaddikim. Okay, let's begin. There's a lot, obviously, Parshas Bereishis. There's a lot to look at. If you turn a couple pages in, you'll see that he starts to have a whole list of comments on the word Bereishis. He actually has 22 comments on the word Bereishis. Can I get the Chaf Beis Osios? I want to go to the one that begins Os Chaf. So Bereishis is Perek Aleph. It's really sort of on Pasuk Aleph. See if you can find the entry. Os Chaf. Yeah. It's on page Yudav. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, again, just to give us, he has many different approaches to just understanding the opening of Pesukim in the Torah. What's the backdrop that the Torah is trying to create for us, to give us a context. Now obviously one of the highlights, if not the highlight, probably is the highlight, of creation is man. That Adam was created. We're not going to see it inside, but you'll see later on, he describes how the Torah introduces us to Gan Eden and tells us how Adam was put in the garden, and the placement of those psukim, a little bit later on, the way that those psukim are sort of inserted into the discussion, he writes in Parak Beis Pasuches, is to show you that the tachlis of the garden was for man, the tachlis of the bria is for man. And really, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing to describe the creation of the world is really to get to the Tachlis HaBriyah, which is Adam. So let's take a look at how he understands that even within the opening words of Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis HaShemayim Veis HaAretz. Because man is made up of Shemayim and Aretz. Let's see. O Tirmas HaParsha Kula Al Briyas HaAdam Ki Hu Iker Tachlis HaBriyah. We can explain the entire Parsha. Now whether he means the entire Parsha's Bereishis or he means just the opening Parsha, the opening Sugya, right? I think you could say both, but to put the context of the entire Parsha in light of the creation of man, because man is the Ikar Tachlis HaBriyah. Man is the essence and the purpose of creation. Al zeh haderech bereishis kishabara Hashem es ha'adam bera'o mimekor haruchnias haramuz betevas hashamayim u'mimekor hagashmias haramuz betevas haaretz. Man is the greatest mixture of all that is physical and all that is spiritual. We know from the words Naaseh Adam, the Arizal explains that when Hashem says Naaseh Adam, let us make man, the Arizal writes in Likutim, and the Sefer HaLikutim is actually the beginning of Parsha Shemos, on Vayelach Ish Mi Beis Levi, that's where the Arizal has this comment. The Arizal says that Naaseh Adam means that Hashem turned to the entire Bria, everything that preceded the creation of man, and Hashem invited everything to make a donation to man. Which means, the way the Rabbi Chana Wasserman used to say, that man is made up of all sorts of things. Right? Made up of all the wildest animals in the jungle, we have a little bit of that inside of us. Every plant gave a little bit of itself to us. Every part of the solar system gave a little bit of itself to us. Nasa Adam, let us make man. Hashem turned to everything that was created in the first 5 days and said, make a donation. Together we're going to make this unbelievably complex organism called man. And man is made up of Shemayim and Arts. So again, Bereishis Bar Elokim. The Bereishis, the Tachlis of all of creation, is man. And man is made up of Shemayim Va'aretz. That he was taken, part of man is taken from the Makor HaRuchnias, and part of man is taken from Makor HaGashmias, Shemayim Va'aretz. V'timsa Sheramzu Chazal. That's what Chazal are hinting to in Sanhedrin Sadi Aleph. V'masha Amar HaKosuv Yikra Ela Shemayim Me'al Shehu HaRuach Ve'al Aretz Hu HaGuf HaBonai Me'aretz. Ritonius Baruch Bezeh, who shall yedei maise ha'adam yisatzim la'afoch ha'chomer shua guf ad she'anechshav tzura. Those of us who were together right before the break when we learned the Rechaim HaKadosh on Hazinu, and he explained Hazinu HaShemayim v'adabeir v'sishma ha'aretz imrefi, you may recall that the Rechaim HaKadosh spoke about man's ability to turn aretz into Shemayim. The way the Chiddush HaRim explained it, HaShemayim Shemayim la'Hashem Va'aretz nasan livnei adam. The first Gaon Rebbe said, Hashamayim, Shamayim Lashem. The heavens are naturally spiritual. Va'aretz nasan livnei adam. And the earth was given to man to make it into heavens. To transform the earth into Shamayim. That's our avoda. That it should be the way Eliyahu Lopian said it. In the Lev Eliyahu, the great Mashkiach. Eliyahu Lopian said, Kimea Shamayim al haaretz. To make Shemayim al haaretz. The avodah of a Jew is to turn Olam Hazeh into Olam Haba. To turn Gashmis into Ruchnis. And therefore man was programmed as sort of that linchpin between the world of Gashmis and the world of Ruchnis. Right? And man could choose to turn his soul into something Gashmi, God forbid. Or he could choose to turn everything Gashmi into something Ruchni. He could take all of Aretz and turn it into Shemayim. So that's what the Gemara is alluding to in Sanhedrin, when it says on the pasuk Yikra LaShemayim Me'al V'Laaretz Mitachas that the avodah is man should summon and should take action by transforming Chomer into Tzura, and that's the avodah of the tzaddikim. He says, "V'nei Timsa." Now we understand why the Gemara in Shabbos says Shat Tzaddikim Einam Chozrim Afar. Why is it that tzaddikim? We have a notion that a tzaddik, and we have historical evidence that this is true by certain tzaddikim. There were tzaddikim that were buried in parts of the world. Eventually, they were able to safely move their bodies, to unearth their bodies and to move them to Eretz Yisrael. Right? And they found that there were bodies that had been buried for a long time that were fully intact. They were perfectly intact. That the body didn't rot, and the worms didn't take hold of the body, and the body didn't return to dust. So the Gemara in Shabbos says, tzaddikim einam chozrim afar. A tzaddik who has elevated his physicality, Moshe didn't die at the end of his life. We just read it. Moshe didn't die at the end of his Osa Bracha because he was old and he was weak and his body was breaking down. The Torah goes out of its way to say just the opposite. The Torah says Moshe is strong, his vision is still intact, he hasn't lost any of his vigor, and yet he has to die. And that was Moshe's challenge, to give back his soul despite having his full strength. Because again, a tzaddik is able to take his guf and turn it into something eternal. And therefore he says, give me 2 more seconds, Lioski zichachu ha'chomer shalehem ha'chenasa ruchani. Then the tzaddik took his body and made it something holy. And that's why Rav Yitzchak Arama, who's Rav Yitzchak Arama? The commentary Akidas Yitzchak, wrote very long essays on the Torah. Rav Yitzchak Arama said, the lashon that he uses, v'zeh l'shono, v'z'amsus ha'shleimim la'afoch ha'chomer l'tzura, ad kan l'shono. The work, the avoda, of those who are wholesome Jews, the avoda of the tzaddik is to constantly be working on transforming chomer into tzura. To take something less refined and to make it much more refined. To take something less ruchni and to make it more ruchni. To transform chomer to tzura. That's the avoda of the tzaddik. That's what the Rachayim HaKadosh spoke about in Hazino. That's what he mentions here. And we'll see later on in the sixth parak, he comes back to this theme again, when Hashem, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, is already becoming frustrated with man's failures. Part of man's failures, part of what we're going to have to confront next week in Parshas Noach, right, is man's failure to elevate the Bria, but in fact to drag the Bria down. To constantly be taking the possibility of serving God, and constantly instead getting involved in all sorts of taivas. This is what Chazal mean when they say that tzaddikim misasim nikraim chayim, that a tzaddik, even when he leaves this world, is still alive. Why? Ki chelak hageshem nasa ruchani. Excuse me. Hamisyachis elachayim. Because the tzaddik took his gashmias and transformed it into something ruchnias. The tzaddik doesn't live in a world divided, of where he's caught between the world of ruchni and gashmi. He understands that man is again placed in that environment, sort of at the as the midway point, the tachlis habriya. Man is placed smack in the middle between the, again, that's part of his ability to choose, that's part of our bechira chavshus, that I could choose gashmias or I could choose ruchnias. The tzaddik makes all the right choices and turns everything gashmi into ruchni, and in that way he lives forever. While the rishon bechayim kru mesim, the rush when he's alive is called dead. Why is he called dead? Because he's taken eternal things, he's taken his neshama, and he's made it what? He's made his life temporary. The definition of something that's alive means it lives forever. The definition of something that's dead, right, is something that will eventually die. It doesn't mean it's dead in a second. So the Rasha could be running around, he looks really strong, but he's dying, right? It's a slow death. Because his whole world is the world of the body, and the body will eventually run out of energy. As opposed to that which is ruchni, which means it lives forever. The Avram Zokin Baba Yamim. The way the Zohar explains, the way the Pesach Sarebi explains, the way the Chassam Sofer explains. Right? That real living are those days that I've turned into something ruchni. Those moments of life that I've captured and I've elevated through Torah, through Tefillah, through mitzvos. Those are the days of my life. That's the summation of my life. Add up the meaningful moments, and that's how long you've lived. So again, the tzaddik is always chayim. And the rush is always misa, even when he's physically alive. And the rush is just dragging himself down, 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 and that's going to be his demise. Okay, yes.
Yeah, isn't it a little difficult to say that at creation, the land was made to bring up to a heavenly state? Wasn't Gan Eden already like a heavenly state?
So that's a good question. Okay. Right, that's a good question. Meaning, what was his invite? What did it mean to elevate the world at that point? Right. What? So you're making certain assumptions about Gan Eden, which may be true and may not be accurate enough in terms of the world being in a perfected state. He will ask that question openly. Okay? In a slightly different context, but we're going to get to that question. So let's hold off on that question, but it is a good question. What was the initial goal of man? If man is created with a neshama, which is pure, all the more so, Adam Kodem Achet, where his natural sense of self was focused on Tov, and the Yetzirah was maybe in the embodiment of the Nachash, that external voice. So what does it mean for man to do good? Everything seems to be, you know, chosen already. Everything seems to already be put on a certain path, which doesn't leave man with much room to be metaken or much room to accomplish. Okay, good question. Yeah.
He's making it sound like it's just the tzaddik's job to do this. It's really all
about a job. Ba'amichulam tzaddikim. That's why I always quote that pasuk. Yishai and Avi said, you are part of that team. The tzaddik is the one who, the shleimim, right? It's amzus ha-shleimim, and the lashon again of the akedas yitzchak. Is that the tzaddik, the one who lives a life of shleimus, is constantly working on lifting the world up, 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 up. But again, that is the avod of every person, absolutely. Yes?
Saying that ruchnias can live in gashmias, or that
Yes, Rochlius can become gashrius. We see it early on in the Torah. The very strange description of those angels who are getting involved with women. We see that there's a possibility of something heavenly having a descent to the point that it becomes gashri. Whether it's Avram's malachim in the form of Arabs, which is maybe less, you know, innocuous, versus angels that came down and get involved in Taiva, versus Hashem's fear of sending a malach to take us out of Mitzrayim, because the malach, right, an evil malach, a malach wouldn't be able to withstand the temptations of Mitzrayim, and the low levels of Tumah of Mitzrayim. So yes, the Torah can be a Sam Achayim, the Torah can be a Sam Misa, in the Gemara and Yoma. So there's no question, yeah, you could take Ruchnias, you could take an Ashama, and it could be Gashmias.
Those are Malachim, meaning like, the Shema of a Jew comes from a
more
of these, but no.
Okay, so you're saying there's an Akuda that can't be damaged. True. In Acharami. But again, there's a lot of damage we can cause along the way. Yeah, lo yidach yimenu nidach. Yeah. That's what Rav Wolfson says. The last three words of the Torah are Leinei Kol Yisrael. The first three words of the Torah are Breishis Bar Elokim. And the gematria of Leinei Kol Yisrael and Breishis Bar Elokim, to connect the end of the Torah back to the beginning, to show that even when we reach the end and Moshe breaks the luchos and Yashar Kol Shibarta, don't worry, we're going to try again. All right, we'll see. Rav Chaim's going to talk about Gilgal a little bit today. So Rav Wolfson says the gematria, I don't remember the full lashon of the pasuk, but he says the gematria of Leinei Kol Yisrael and Bereishis Bara Elokim, the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah, is gematria imiyel nidacha b'ksei hashamayim yisham yikachecha. that whole lashon over there. If a Jew finds himself totally, you know, disconnected, right, Hashem will gather you in, and Hashem will give you another chance. That's the opening word of the Chumash, Bereishis, Beis Reishis. To Rabbi Nachman and Tzichas Aran, right, and other places, Beis Reishis, start again, start over many times a day if you have to. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it all work out. So when you get to the end of the Torah, when a Jew feels like, oi, I'm done, this is the end of my Torah. No, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. Bereishis Bara Elokim. If you find yourself cast off to the edge of the heavens, Misham Yikachecha, Hashem's going to gather you back. Nothing to worry about. Yeah.
This instance is Ruchani only mean, like, between one and Hashem, or does it mean like family days and things like that?
What do you mean?
Like you said, one would be alive. Like the Ruchani things, one does keep them alive.
That's a question of your kavana. Is eating a slice of pizza Ruchani or Gashmi? Depends. It's not either or. Right? There is no middle. There's no neutral zone, according to Chassidus. Everything is up or everything is down. Okay?
Great hall meditation. Is that
kind of
in the middle?
No. Look at the Graz comment in Mishlei. Orachayim lamal lamaschil. Everything's either up or everything's way down. There's no middle. Re'ei anochi nosein lefnei chamiyom brachu uklala. V'dilo mosif yosef. Pirkei Avos. A million marmakomos. That it's either up or it's down. So there's no, this is free time. Free time, if you need a break, is a mitzvah. Free time, if you don't need a break, is bittul zman, the biggest of era. So no, there's no neutral zone. Judaism doesn't believe in a neutral zone. Okay, sounds extreme.
Love it.
But it's not. Okay, let's jump at a couple paragraphs. I see we're already killing a lot of clock, in a good way. Baruch Hashem, but we only have so much time to learn our Chaim, there's a lot to see. So let's jump at a few paragraphs. Literally, just jump at a few paragraphs. The paragraph that begins, V'lo tachshov. You see that? V'lo tachshov. Yeah, you see it? Top of the next page? Yes. Okay, he goes on and he says again, man is made up of Shemayim and Aretz, and there's this constant battle, and we're trying to work on transforming Aretz into Shemayim. Of course, Va'aretz ha'isa sohu v'vohu, I'm just paraphrasing now the paragraphs that we skipped, the world is tohu v'vohu, and there's a choshech al p'nei sohom, that there's this great darkness, in the form of the Yetzirah that's hovering over everything of our entire existence, and it's blocking out a lot of the light of the neshama, and not allowing the neshama to enter, and that's the Ruach Elokim merachefes al p'nei amayim. The Ruach Elokim merachefes al p'nei amayim is the neshama that wants very badly to enter into that tahom, into that endlessly deep dark cavern called the body, and it wants to elevate the body. But of course, the tohu vavohu in the form of the Yetzara is blocking us out. Hashem, of course, comes to help us. Vayomer Elokim, yehi or. Hashem says, I'm going to give you the Torah, I'm going to give you the Yetzer Tov, I'm going to give you ways to hopefully fight back. But the paragraph that I want you to see inside is the paragraph below Tachshov. I mean, I want you to see the whole, every word of our Chaim HaKadosh inside. But for sake of time, let's see. There's no quick fix. Meaning the battle is a constant battle. We've seen this already a few times. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh talks a lot about a Jew constantly needing to fight against the Yetzer Hara. It's a lifetime of struggle for most of us, as the Tanya writes as well. V'lo tachshov. Don't think just because Vayomer Elokim Yehior, Vayehior. Sounds pretty easy, right? Yeah, there's the Yetzer Hara. Yeah, my body is a dark place. Yeah, this world is a scary place. But don't worry, there's a Ruach Elokim Merachefes al Pnei Amayim. Hashem says, let there be light. So there's going to be light. So if I have a little light, if I have a little Torah, I'm a little bit aware of my Yitzhar Tov, then I'm good. The Yitzhar Har is a great force that has to be reckoned with. V'lo tachshuv, ki biyos ha-neshama ba'adam, while yedei eisek ha-Torah, b'zehu shakit mitachbulos ha-yitzhar ha-machtiu ofana v'halachla. Don't think because you have a neshama, and because you learn a little Torah, that all of a sudden, now the Yitzhar is just going to wander off and find someone else to bother. They have to never forget that Gemara says that the bigger a person you are, the bigger your Yitzhar is. Now again, bigger Yitzhar doesn't necessarily mean giving into the same lower level type of Yitzharas. But again, the Yitzhar grows with a person. There's a lot of nuance in the Yitzhar. So you may be in control of, again, of a certain Yitzhar that was harder for you when you were younger. And as you get older, hopefully you've conquered that Yitzhara. But as you grow, the Yitzhara will grow. He will present himself to you in different ways. What do you think? What Yitzhara do you think big tzaddikim struggle with the most? Pick something realistic for a tzaddik.
Kavod.
Kavod. Right? Probably kavod. Because if I'm a big Rosh Hashiva, I'm a big Talmud Chacham, I'm a big tzaddik, and I don't get the right amount of kavod that I rightfully deserve. Right? So a tzaddik might... Now that's a very big deal. Kavod is a big deal in terms of Yetzer Hara. So we think a person who's struggling to keep kosher, a person who's struggling to conquer his taiva, a person who has a hard time with Shabbos. The tzaddik, he's got his Yetzer Hara under control in that regard. But kavod is something that he struggles with. He feels that he deserves more kavod, right? And again, rightfully so. But kavod's a big deal. That's like a big deal Yetzer Hara. The Chafetz Chaim says that whenever a person gets kavod, it takes away from their Olam Haba. Because Kavod, Chafetz Chaim writes, Chafetz Chaim al Torah, Kavod is a Tanug Ruchni. It's not a physical pleasure. Kavod is a spiritual delight. If you've ever received Kavod from someone, right, you feel your neshama lifted up by them. So when a person is taking Kavod or seeking Kavod for the wrong reasons, right, that's a very egregious sin. That's a terrible thing. So therefore, the tzaddik has real things to struggle with. That's like a very big deal. Again, you think, oh, but he's a tzaddik, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. But the bigger you are, the Gemara says in Sukkah, kol gadol mechaveru yitzro gadol imenu. The bigger you are, the bigger your yitzhar is. So a person shouldn't foolishly think, says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, that I have a neshama, and I learn a little Torah, and now the yitzhar is going to give up on me, because I have all these weapons of vayihi or. It doesn't work like that. There's a constant struggle, and that's called life itself. Shem Kain ain kan lo schar v'lo onesh lezeh. Sorry, v'lo onesh. Because if not for the constant battle, there could be no schar, there could be no onesh. No reward and no punishment. Lezeh amar ki adayin achoshech ba'olam. And therefore, the Ruach Elokim is merachefes al pnei amayim. But again, there's a tohu vavohu, there's a lot of darkness. There's a constant battle that's going on. But at the very least, says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, the tools, the weapons, in the form of the Yetzer Tov, in the form of the Neshama, in the form of the Torah, at least it could serve as what? By heat, or it could serve as a flashlight. At least you could identify the Yetzer Hara. At least you could see he's a bad guy and do something about it. At least you'll be able to not fall for all of his tricks. You'll be able to look at something evil in the world and be able to label it as evil, to identify it as evil. That at least you should know the line of demarcation. You should say, this is where I want to be, and this is where I don't want to be. That doesn't mean that I'm always going to be, once I choose to be a good Jew, then it's always so easy to dwell in the light. But at least there should be enough light in my life to see what the Yetzirah is about, and to at least be working on it. Right? To not be so ensnared by his traps that I don't even recognize him as a bad guy anymore. That's the avota, and that's the way of Del Elokim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu at least gave us the ability to be mavdil, to recognize that not everything in this world is good, and not everything in this world is bad, and you have to know how to distinguish between the two, and you have to constantly work. Again, the lifetime of a tzaddik is to constantly be working towards turning some of that darkness into a little bit more light. Okay, again, there's a lot here. Let's jump ahead. Please, to Aleph Chavav. Okay, I'm going to hold off on some of the questions because I want to make sure that, just to be fair to everyone, that we get to see a nice amount, and then I'm happy to take any questions afterwards. Okay, Aleph Chavav, what page? Vayomer Elokim Nasa Adam. Page Chafei. Okay, very interesting. A couple interesting points. Na'aseh Adam, obviously a lot has been written on Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. Who is God talking to? Hashem is one. So who is Hashem speaking to? Vayomer Elokim Na'aseh Adam. Hakavana bezeh ki lo bara Hashem es Adam kibriyas sheretz hamayim v'sheretz ha'aretz asher amar lamayim v'shritzu v'amar la'aretz v'otziya elahu habore amar shehu ya'aseh ha'adam. Fascinating thing that he says. Na'aseh Adam implies a partnership by the creation of man more so than anything else. But the Rachayim HaKadosh says, actually Hashem is more involved by creation of man than anything else. Because Hashem said to the waters, swarm. And all of a sudden, the waters produce fish, and the waters perhaps produce birds as well. According to Chazal, perhaps emerged somewhat from the water as well. Right? Hashem turned to the earth and said, earth, make me animals. And the earth, with its energy, was able to produce animals. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes time to create man, even though man is made also from earth, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Adam in an afar, right? But Hashem says, I'm building this one myself. I'm putting this one together myself. Yes, Na'aseh, Hashem is going to, and we'll see who or what Hashem is partnering with in order to make man, but there's a sense of a seal, there's a sense of a hands-on HaKadosh Baruch Hu building man. Elahu abore amar shehu yasa Adam. It's not, again, the more passive where Hashem turns to the Mayim and says, swarm. Or Hashem says to the earth and says, produce. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is creating man. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves man, and man is the tachlis of the Bria. V'amar Nasa. So now you'll wonder, okay, well, if Hashem is so in charge here, so then who's the Nasa? Let us create man. If this is Hashem, if Hashem's taking control of the situation, who's he talking to? Says the Orachayim HaKadosh, Ki hu mekor ha'anava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the root of all humility. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unbelievably humble. The very notion of creation is a tremendously humble act on the behalf of Hashem. Because Hashem doesn't need us. Hashem gave us this whole world for us. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his humility. Hashem was a melech before. Adon Olam Hashem melech b'terem kol yitzir nevah. Hashem was a melech before there was a world. Normally a melech needs people in order to feel like a melech. Hashem didn't need anything to feel that he had everything. And Hashem in his humility, kiviyachol, was willing to create the man. And therefore, this lashon of anava, of nasa adam, ki'ilu Hashem needs help, is partnering with something, again he hasn't told us what yet. Lazed dibur b'lashon rabim, kikein yadaber yachid ha'anav. Because this is the way that a humble person speaks. Right? A humble person who actually might be doing everything himself, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, as Hashem did, but a humble person talks in a way, ki'ilu, it's not me. Right? Ki'ilu, you know, we're working together. So Hashem, speaking to the world that had been created, right? Hashem says, come, let us make man. Right? That's just Hashem's way of speaking in a humble way. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, Hashem's not necessarily inviting anyone or anything to partner with him. It's just the way of a humble being to speak in the plural, even if this individual is solely responsible for all of the good behavior that's taking place. And Hashem was not concerned, as the Medrash has already pointed out, Hashem was not concerned about the fact that people might misunderstand what he's saying. Ki hikdim lomar vayomer Elokim, shem yachid, Hashem hu Elokim, who bechvodo ba'atzmo kiviyachol gibel afaro ve'ifiach bo ruachayim. And there's no reason to get confused here and to say nase. Are there many gods? No, it was already vayomer Elokim, the God Hashem hu Elokim, the God Himself already said, "I'm going to be the one to do this." So it's clear. An honest reading of the Chumash says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, it's clear there's one God, and this one God is in charge. And now as God is about to do His ultimate, to create His ultimate product, right? The most magnificent Bria, most wondrous creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His humility says, let us make man. And again, it's an important lesson for us in our involvement with others. Od Yirtzav Omu Nasa, another way to understand Nasa, that in fact Hashem is referring to something plural, Belashon Rabim, ki midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabim. Ah, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking what? To Himself. Right? Now, I can't say the various parts of Himself, because Hashem doesn't have parts. But Hashem perhaps is speaking. We know that Hashem, when He chooses to interact with the world, He expresses Himself with various midos. So perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is saying, let man be created from the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim. V'shem Elokim shu midas din, midas hadin, iskimu yachad livro adam. That Vayomer Elokim, we know that Elokim is the name that appears throughout much of the creation story, right? Less so Hashem, until Hashem realized kiviyachol the need to inject midas harachamim in. So therefore, it could be that Hashem is saying nase adam. Man is going to be a creation that is somehow a blend of what? The various midos harachamim. Of course, with the Vayomer Elokim, with the Midas Hadin. And so to speak, Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim agreed to partner in the creation of man. Okay. He goes on and then he has a very interesting thing here. He describes when it says Vayirdu, when it says that man will rule, will dominate the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and the animals of the field. I'm not going to read it inside, but you should just know the next couple of lines, the Rachaim, you can see, he quotes from the Sefer HaGilgulim, where he says Vayirdu actually is a reference to man when things don't work out the way that it's supposed to be. That if unfortunately man is not living up to the standards he's supposed to live by, and he's not able to dominate the Bria, then Vayirdu, then he has a Yerida and he becomes part of the lower elements of the Bria. First and foremost, if man needs a slight tikkun, he comes back, the Gilgal of a man will be a fish. That's why tzaddikim. That's why I'm saying tzaddikim are reincarnated as fish. Why is a fish a high-level Gilgal? Because a fish doesn't have to undergo much pain in order to what? In order to become food. Right? The fish doesn't have to be shechted. Doesn't have to have the knife put against his neck and to be slaughtered in that painful way. So therefore, the least painful way for a Jew to come back to Mitakin is chataim, is in the form of a fish. More painful than that, a higher level, or I guess a lower level, right, of Gilgal, would be to be in the form of a bird. And the worst, of course, is a behemoth. He says, "Bechina hagrua bioser," is the pain that an animal has to feel when it's when it has to be shechted in a more gruesome kind of way, and that would be not so good. Okay, so again, an interesting thing to take a look at if you want to see an early source for an early reference in the Torah to the concept of reincarnation, right? It's this pasuk, Vayirdu Vadigas Hayam, that man will have a yerida in the form of fish, or in the form of birds, or even in the form of an animal, if need be. Okay. Let's turn the page. Let's go to Lamed Aleph. Perek Aleph, pasuk Lamed Aleph. The last entry on the first parak. Vayar Elokim Vagomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw all that He did, and Hashem liked His world. This is right before Shabbos, of course. We're introduced to Vayichu HaShemayim, Perek Beis. Vayar Elokim, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Perish, Be'emtzos Brias Adam Nira Ma'aseyu Bichlaluso Kitov. Now that man, who again has so much potential, should be the highlight of the Bria, has been created, Hashem looks at His entire Bria and says, this is a good thing. Because if not for man, what's the point of any of this? Think about that once in a while. Just once in a while, go outside and just look at Hashem's world and say, the sun was created for me. The stars are created for me. This tree was created for me. Every bit of the Bria was created for me. And if I'm not working to make the world a better place, then all of this is a waste. that the whole purpose of the Embriya is for the Tikkun HaAdam. That's why everything was created. Ki ein havchanas tova nikeres ela be'emtzaus ha'adam. Ki elav yukar v'yuvchan ha'tov v'yodeh lemeitiv. Because it's only through man's efforts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be recognized fully, properly in this world. Yes, the animals also have some type of hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Lo Rechaim HaKadosh himself writes in Bereishis. Right? But the tachlis of the Bria and the tikkun of the Bria can really only come about through the tachlis of the Bria, which is man. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at man and he looks at the Bria against the presentation of man, and Hashem says, now that I see man, I see that everything is tov. There's a potential for everything to be good. Unfortunately, mixed in with this excitement that Kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in this moment is a little bit of an element of sadness. And what is that little bit of an element of sadness? Because you'll notice the pasuk says, V'hineh, and behold, it was tov mod. V'hineh usually implies something that is sudden, something that's happening right here, right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at the potential of man right now and seeing, wow, what a good thing. But it's also hinting to the fact, V'hineh, behold, look what it could be, but it probably won't be. And that's hinted to in the words, Tov Ma'od. Vayar Elokim, when Hashem looks and he sees Tov, says the Rechaim HaKadosh a couple lines down, he says, he looks at the Tzadikim and he says, the Tzadikim, they're so Tov. And then Hashem looks at the Risham and he says, the Risham are so Ma'od. Now what does that mean, they're so Ma'od? So he quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah, that Ma'od Zem Malach HaMavis. That Hashem looked at his world and he saw the world was good. And then Hashem saw the world was very good. And when it's Ma'od, says the Medrash, Malach HaMavis, death. Death is very good. What's so good about death? So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, because V'hineh, right now everything could be so good, but I know that it's not going to work out. I know that not everyone's going to live up to it. I know that there are some parts of the Bria that are going to fail me. And are going to need to what? Be fixed through Misa itself. Remember what we learned in the Yeras HaTshuva? The Dalet Chalukei Kapara that he started with, the Gemara in Yoma. Right? There are certain Averos that can only be fixed through death. There's Tshuva, there's Yisurin, right? And then there's death. Some things can only be cleansed through death. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Tzaddikim and he says, V'nei Tov, the Tzaddikim are good, and the Tzaddikim will continue to be good. But there's also this Bechina called Ma'od, that the Rishab are going to need to be corrected through what? Through death itself. Death, meaning the pains of death, and also perhaps he's alluding to the, like you said a moment ago, the Gilgul and the reincarnation and the chance to try again and hopefully do better next time. In the last paragraph, before he goes to Parag Beis, he finally asks the question that we referenced earlier, and that is, well, if man has within him a neshama, right? So then what is he working on? If he has this potential to be so good, and the world is good, as Hashem himself declares, the world is tov mod, according to the simple pshat. So what exactly is man working on? Od yirmas kan tam abriya, l'mashi yadanu, ki ikar hakol hu ha'adam, uvishvilo ve'elav bar Hashem kol bruav. Man is everything. That's the purpose. U'meyata tavo ha'she'ila la'adam lama. So if you'll ask, well, what's man supposed to do? What exactly is his role in all of this? If Hashem already declared that it's good, lezeh amar v'hineh tov mod, perish, shagam shebechinas nishmas ha'adam, hu mibechinas ha'tov. Right? Like Rab said, there's a part of man that is bad, some good, and can't be destroyed. Right? And can't be turned into gashmi. More than that, if man maintains his natural state, then the way that Eliot asked, then he's in Gan Eden. And everything's good. So what's he working on? What was the avodah of Adam Rishon before he succumbed to the Yetzirah, before he succumbed to the temptations of the Nachash? Im kol zeh biro Hashem la'alos b'malas hatov yoseh mimashehu. A Jew has to remind himself that there's always higher madrigas that one can strive for. That when things are tov, a Jew has to say, let's go for tov ma'od. When things are tov ma'od, Eretz Yisrael is described in the Torah as what? A land that is tova ma'od. Very, very good. A person says, very, very good, let's go for greater than that. Let's go for very, very, very good. Right? We always have to be striving upwards. And that's what the Torah is hinting to here. That there's Tov, and there's Tov Ma'od, and a Jew should infer that there's always ways to further refine one's neshama. as pure and as perfected as it seems to be, there's always ways to, right? Because the neshama is part of an infinite elokos. And therefore, there's an infinite amount of growth that's possible. V'hu omro me'od al yidei ma'isa adam, mis'alis nishmasum madrega madrega, ashrei enosh yasazos. Praiseworthy is the man who commits himself to a lifetime of spiritual growth. I'll just tell you a nice part. I shared with Dan and a couple other people. We were talking, we were walking back on Simchas Torah night. We were talking about the Rashi at the end of the Torah. So I mentioned a gra in Mishlei. It was a beautiful comment to the gra in the 20th parak of Mishlei. The pasuk says in Mishlei, in parak Chaf, Ra, ra, yomar hakone. The buyer should say, bad, bad. The buyer should say, this product is not good enough. And then when the buyer finally leaves, when he walks out of the store and he finally made his purchase, right? After he told the owner of the store, I want something better, give me a better product. And he kept negotiating, until finally he walks out of the store. Then he says, I got the best deal I could get. But first he got to negotiate, this isn't good enough. What do you have in the back of the store here? You have something better? The pasuk is Parachav Pasuk Yudalit. Ra, ra, yomar hakone. Va'ozalo az yishalal. When he goes, then he praises. But when he's buying, he should say, bad, bad. The Gra has a few explanations. They're all very beautiful. One of his later explanations, the Vilna Gaon on Mishlei says, Ra, ra, yomar kona. When a Jew is still in the game called life, you have to say about everything I did, not good enough. I can do better. I can do better. I can do better. I can do better. Ra, ra, yomar kona. When you're making a kinyan in Torah, when you're learning Kedushin, and you think you got the sugya down, say, I can do it again. I can learn it better. I got the basics. Now I can do it better. Learn the Masechta better. Learn the Pasuk better. Work on this Mita to make it even better. Work on this Yetzirah to make it even better. Va'ozalah, when he finally leaves this world, after having this attitude that the Aruch Haim HaKadosh is describing, working and working and working as much as you possibly can, then when he leaves, Oz Yishalal, then he can finally pat himself on the back and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pat you on the back and embrace you and say, oh, you did the best you could. But while you're still in it, a Jew has to say, my tov could be tov mod. And that's the avoda of man. Despite having a neshama, which, what do you mean? Neshama is a neshama. It's a piece of God. It's perfect. But there's a way of developing one's neshama. There's a way of working on one's neshama. And therefore, even though Hashem looks and Hashem says, tov mod, right, but that's Hashem's way of saying, I turn tov into tov mod, and you need to do the same. Okay? Let's begin the second parak. The first comment in the second paragraph, I'll just say outside because we're really short on time, but it's very kedai to know. Actually, no, let's just read a couple lines. We'll read a couple lines, and then we'll skip ahead. Vayechul Hashemayim. Vayechul Hashemayim. Everyone knows that the world is not flat, but the world is round. Why is the world round? Why is the world round? What's the Torah's answer to why the world is round? There was a time period when people thought the world was flat. Now we know for sure the world is round. The Torah knew that before science knew that. Torah sources indicated that to us before science had a clear understanding of the shape of the world, right? But now that we know it's true from Torah and from science, and it's muskim l'kol, everyone knows the metzius, which is that the world is round. So we have to ask ourselves, well, why did Hashem make the world round? So the first answer is because God wanted to. The second answer is what the Aruch Haim HaKadosh writes over here. Look what he writes. Vayechul Hashemayim. What exactly is the Torah telling us by just giving this concluding pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished? When he stops creating, then he's finished. He doesn't need to announce that he's finished. Perhaps it alludes to what the Medrash tells us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Makomo Shel Olam. Hashem is the Makom. Hashem is the place of the world. What does that mean? Hashem is called the Makom, Makomo Shel Olam. Gam Betzino Kiu Male Olam, Kamar Melo Chol Aretz Kavoda. Hashem fills the entire Bria. Hashem fills the entire world. Hashem is the entire world. What are we supposed to learn from these ideas that Hashem is Makom and Hashem fills all Makom? Me'ata Or Yisbarach Nimtza BeHekef HaOlam Pnimiuso. Using language that's very similar to language you find in again, classic Svarim of Chassidus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mamali Kol Alam and Vesovi Kol Alam. Hashem circles, Hashem envelops the entire world, Hashem wraps Himself around the entire Bria, and Hashem fills, B'Pnim Yuso, fills all of Metzias. What does that mean? V'tzarach L'Teis Lev L'Das Tam HaDavar Lamas Hashem Kacha. Why doesn't Hashem have, you know, one place where he is more than other places. Now you say, well, we do have such a notion. What's the Kodesh Kadashim? What's the base of Mikdash? What's the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Kehillim that describes different levels of Kedusha? What do the Rechaim HaKadosh mean in Parshas Mezos HaBracha? Which, if you missed it, I recorded it with one or two guys, so we have it online. If anyone wants to catch up, to fill in the last Parsha, it is available to you. Right? But over there he discusses the notion of what? Of, well, you know, when there's a lot of Jews together, then the Shekhinah is present. So what does the Mishnah Pirkei Avos mean when it says if one person learns Torah, the Shekhinah is with you? The Rechaim HaKadosh says, and we'll see it elsewhere in the Sefer, that there are degrees of Shekhinah. More Jews, more Shekhinah. Which means, if Chas V'Shalom, you oversleep and you miss Minyan, right? It's Kedai to daven, if you and your roommate miss Minyan, it's Kedai to daven together. If four people daven together, it's not a Minyan. You can't say Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. Right? But whenever the more Jews are together, the more Hashras HaShekhinah is. That's the cloud the Rechaim HaKadosh says. That's the klal. Who's the chassan? Next door? Yeah, Levi's not back yet. They have a chassan too. So the more Jews, the more Shekhinah, the more Hashras HaShekhinah. Yeah? Yet at the same time, there's a notion that Hashem is found everywhere. That's what we're seeing right here. That Hashem is Mekom Moshe Olam. There's no place in the world that is what? That is devoid of Him. Leis Asar Panoy Mineh. Again, in the language of the Zohar. There's no place that's void of God. So therefore, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, a fascinating thing, look what he writes. Umikublani mipi zikne Torah. I have a tradition from the elders of Torah. Ki tam sha'asa Hashem ha'olam kaduri. The reason the world is round. The reason the world is round. A science lesson, Chevra. Torah umada. No more but here. The reason the world is round. Hu kidei sheyamod b'yizkayim b'ashvas kochi chalakav. It's Hashem's way of saying, the same way that in a circle, every point on the outer ring is equidistant from the innermost point of the circle. Hashem's round the world is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to every Jew, I am everywhere. And every place, I'm equally found. So you say, but Hashem, that's not true. I know you're found more in a base medrash than you are on the street. Right? And there is a truth to that. There is a truth to Hashem being more present in a base medrash, being more present in Eretz Yisrael. We have countless Gemaras that prove that point. And yet we also have countless Ma'amari Chazal and writings of the Tzaddikim that tell us that Hashem is equally found everywhere. That when Moshe is told, take off your shoes because the place that you're standing is holy ground, the Chafetz Chaim writes over there in Parshas Shemos, Chafetz Chaim al Torah, Chafetz Chaim says that the Makum Sha'ata Omed Alav Admas Kodesh, the place upon which you're standing is holy ground, right, can be read in context, Moshe standing by the burning bush, but those words themselves can be read also out of context. That the place that you're standing, wherever it is, whether it's standing in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, or Washington Heights, New York, the place that you're standing is Admas Kodesh, period. The makom that Ata Omer love is Admas Kodesh, if you choose to make it that. So the world is round, Hashem says, I was able to divide myself, kiviyachol, equally, equidistant, right? My connection to you in any place, in any environment, is Shavu. Upeirushan shal dvarim hu yesh lecha ledas. Take a look at these next beautiful words. She'ein chuka ba'olam areiva v'chaviva v'nechmedes v'neheves v'nis eves u'mikuves l'nevram b'prad l'chelke haruchni hamakiv yodeya b'chinas or alokus ki davkus ba'oro yisbarach ve'elav yichtzifu kol nefesh chiyunis hamagaz l'hakir k'tzas minom or yisbarach teitinashem lachlus b'nom Hashem. Look at these beautiful Lashonos. There is no greater desire, more pleasurable, more sweet, more tempting, more enticing, right? More hopeful. There's nothing that we long for any part of the Bria that has a little bit of an awareness of what it means to bask in the light of Hashem's Elokus, to want to be mitzdabek, he says, to that light. The longing of a person to attach himself to Hashem is the strongest of desires. And it's such a powerful feeling. It's so powerful, right? That rutzel, that longing, that desire, if proper, can conquer any obstacle. And that's what Hashem is saying. My world is round. There's no place that you can't experience me. U'lechol edaski kol asher bar Hashem ba'olamo yotzer bo Hashem b'chinas ha'askola v'avchana k'fi b'chinaso b'alechayim medabim u'bilti medabim tzomeach v'domim. That's all Bria. Those who speak, animals, rocks, plants, everything according to its level of longing is able to experience Hashem. Yesh l'kol echad koach mehaskala lahakir yotzro kefi hasagaso. Each thing according to its maximum ability can recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a notion that it's being expressed by the roundness of the world that it's all shave. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, the way the Baal Shem Tov explains it. The way it's written in Tzavas Rivash, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid means that everything is shave. That a person who's neged Hashem, a person who recognizes that Hashem fills all reality, like the Rachaim said, Malokol Aretz Kavodo, that Hashem is Mekomo, Hashem is the place, He's everywhere in the world, then there's a certain Shavyos HaNefesh, that a Jew feels wherever he is. As he says a couple lines down, V'hu ki b'amtsos oro ha'nerav v'amakuva, by this great desirable light, asher yesovev kadurios ha'olam b'hashva'a, that envelops, that surrounds the world. Again, like a circle, equidistant. That again, there's a possibility of experiencing Hashem in all places equally. And that's the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Rechaim HaKadosh, created the round world. Amazing insight. Alright, let's turn the page. Let's get to Shabbos. Very famous insight of the Rechaim HaKadosh on Shabbos. First, go to the paragraph that begins Venira, Beis Beis. It starts by Yechal Elokim. Go to the second paragraph in Beis Beis. Venira Sheyechave Nakasuv. Page number?
Lamed.
Venira Sheyechave Nakasuv Lomer Alderach Omra. Let's understand now that we've created man, and man is the Tachas HaBriya. Let's understand how Shabbos plays a role. Because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, created Shabbos. Shabbos is also part of Hashem's Briya. So he says an amazing thing. When the Torah says, Shabbat Vayinafash. Shabbos Vayinafash. You know what that means? He says the following. V'nira sheyachav in akasav lomer al derech omer mzal. He quotes the Gemara in Chagiga daf yud beis. Ki ha'olam hayir rofeif v'roeid at Shabbos Shabbos v'niskayim ha'olam v'nisyasid. The world was a shaky and unstable place. The world was on the verge of collapse. As the Gemara Chagiga says, that until Shabbos came, the world was not solidified. It wasn't able to rest on its yesod, on its foundation. V'akavanahu, ki biyom ha-Shabbos bara Hashem nefesh ha'olam. Shabbat v'inafash means that Shabbos is the nefesh of the world. V'hu sod omer uv'yom ha-shvi shavas v'inafash. The same way that a body cannot live without a neshama, without a soul, without a nefesh, so too, the world cannot live without Shabbos. The world cannot live without Shabbos. Shabbos is the nefesh of the world. Shabbos is the nefesh of the world. And that's why, when the Medrash is trying to figure out how lonely Shabbos is, the days of the week, each one has a partner, and Shabbos, Nebuch, poor Shabbos, got left alone, who's going to be the Ben Zug? Who's going to be the mate for Shabbos? And what does the Medrash say? Klal Yisrael. Because the same way that a Jew is the Tachlis HaBriya, the world was created solely for our existence, the Serva Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, Shabbos is also something that keeps the world alive. Shabbos is also, so to speak, the nefesh of the Bria. And that's what Shabbos Vayinafash means. Okay? And he goes on and he says, this is the explanation of the Zohar, why we don't give a child the Bris Milah until he experiences at least one Shabbos. Because you're not even alive until you experience Shabbos. This is the reason an animal can't be shechted until it experiences a Shabbos, right? You have to wait 8 days for something to become a carbon l'Hashem to make sure that it also passes through a Shabbos. And that's the Vayechal Elokim. Vayechal is also a Lashon, he says at the end of the paragraph. He says, Vayechal is a Lashon of Kalos HaNefesh. Kalos HaNefesh means the longing, the desire of the soul, the Cheshek. Vayechal Elokim, Vayom HaShvi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a taiva, kivyachal, a Cheshek, a longing. The matana tova yesh beis genozai, in the language of the Gemara and Shabbos. The great gift that Hashem wants to give us. The greatest desire, the nefesh of the Bria, is Shabbos Kodesh itself. And therefore the world cannot exist without Shabbos. Okay, turn the page. Again, I'm sorry we have to jump around so much. There's so much to see here. But just go to Pasuk Gimel, Beis Gimel, where it says, Kivo Shavas. It's like the second paragraph in Beis Gimel. What page? Lamed Aleph. Kivo Shavas v'gomer. Tzarech ledas kavanas akasav v'maimer zeh. Kivo Shavas. Shavas v'inafash v'yichalukim v'yivarichalukim. Such beautiful lashonos to describe Shabbos. V'nira lefarish lefi mashkasavnu l'mala. Ki ha'olam ha'yichaser ha'kiyum atcher basa Shabbos v'amar ha'olam. The world was a shaky, unstable place until what? Until Shabbos Kodesh came. V'yesh lahayir b'zeh. Sha'osim yamim kodem shabbat Shabbos. B'mehaya olam omer. So if you're telling me that Shabbos gives life to the Bria, so what? How did the world exist those first 6 days? You hear the question? You're telling me Shabbos is the soul, but you're telling me there were birds and there were animals, there were plants, there were the world existed before Shabbos came. You just told me the world couldn't exist without Shabbos. So how did that work? That's his question. So then, meaning, if the world was able to be for 6 days before Shabbos came along, so then why can't it be for more than 6 days? Right? And if it can't be without Shabbos, so why did Shabbos have to be the first part of the creation before anything else? So he answers as follows. The first 6 days of the Bria, Hashem sustained the world. Hashem somehow used his kolachiyuni, his life force, to sustain the world. But after 6 days, from the time that Shabbos came to the world, Shabbos took over. Shabbos became the nefesh of the world. Which means that at the end of every week, we come to Shabbos and the world is being renewed. This is the famous comment of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Probably the most famous piece in Bereishis is this next three lines. Achein matzinu, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu gila adavar masha amar ba'aseres hadibros, ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem es ha-shamayim. What does that mean? Read the words carefully. It doesn't say that God made the world in 6 days. It says that Hashem made the world for 6 days. It doesn't say bisheshes yamim. It says, "Ki sheishes yamim as Hashem es haShemayim." Haregila ki b'shas abriya lo bar Hashem koach ba'olam zulas lamod sheishes yamim. From the time that the world was created, it was immediately dying. It had 6 days of energy until the world would go back to tohu vavohu. Along comes Shabbos, Shabbat ve'inafash. Shabbos gives a nefesh to the world, and now the world can breathe again. The world is alive. The world can continue to exist. And that's how Hashem wanted it. Because right? Again, you could ask, well, why did Hashem make it last much longer? Because Hashem wanted it to be this way. Hashem understood, for reasons that are known to him, Gam Yidua Lio De Emes. But from that point forward, Shabbos comes to sustain the world. And now I have to pause here and share something very amazing with you. I have to share this with you. The Svarim explained a few things based on this Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Okay, I brought along the Sefer Mishkan Betzalel, or Betzalel Radinsky from Muncie, Shlita, and the great Gaonim, someone who's spoken in our yeshiva on several occasions. So he brings in a piece on Bereishis, he brings this Orach Chaim HaKadosh, and he adds a few very, very nice Torahs that you have to know. He says, first of all, when you come to Shabbos and you sing the Zmiros, you should realize that this Orach Chaim HaKadosh is hinted to in one of the Zmiros of Shabbos. The Yisrach Moshe in Parshas B'Shalach explains the Zemer of Menucha V'Simcha in accordance with this Yisod of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. That after 6 days, the world is done. Says the Yisrach Moshe in Parshas B'Shalach, what do we say in Menucha V'Simcha? Shamrav V'Zachrov Heima Me'idim Ki, next words, Lishisha Kolbrum V'Omdim. That the world was created Lishisha. What do you mean Lishisha? The world's been around for 5,777 years. What do you mean, ki lishisha? The world was created lishisha for 6 days? And the answer is yes. The world only had enough energy to last for 6 days. Comes along Shabbos, and Shabbos revives the world. That's the insight of Yismach Moshe into the words of the Shabbos Miros, ki lishisha, kol brum va'omdim. Another insight. The Bnei Yisachar uses this Orach Chaim HaKadosh, again, this Yisod of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, to explain a fundamental machlokas between Yaakov and Esav. The Bnei Yisachar, in his Mamar on Shabbos, Maimur Tes Osir Aleph, quotes a Medrash Tana Debei Eliyahu, that when Yaakov and Esav were in the womb, they made a deal. Yaakov says, I'll take Ruchnias, you take Gashmias. I'll take Olam Haba, you take Olam Hazeh. They split the worlds. So Esav says, fine, Gvaldik. And Esav is very matzliach in this world. But then, all of a sudden, Parshas Vayishlach, Esav sees that Yaakov is coming to encounter his brother after that long separation. And he sees, well, what's going on here? Yaakov, what's with all these animals? What's with all this Olam Hazeh? How did you amass so much Olam Hazeh? I thought we had a deal. You were taking Olam Haba, and all of Olam Hazeh is mine. So it's very nice that you're offering me some of your animals. What do you mean your animals? The whole world is mine. That was the deal we made in the womb. What right does Yaakov, and by extension, what right does any Jew have to anything of Gashmius in this world? It all belongs to Edom. It all belongs to Esav. What right do we have to it? Says the Bnei Yisrael, the answer is, B'metziach of Dalram and Aleph. In B'metziach of Dalram and Aleph, we have a principle. Hamatzil mizuto shel yam. U'mishililuso shel nahar harei hu shelo. I've told you this Bnei Yisrael before. You're riding, you're walking along the boardwalk, and all of a sudden the ocean spits, right, out of the ocean spits out a bike. A bike that must have been out at sea, it's covered in seaweed, who knows, for weeks, months, years. Right? And you see on the bike, there's a phone number. It says, this bike belongs to Yankel, Ben Barrel, and it gives you his phone number. Right? Do you have to return the bike to Yankel Ben Barrel? It's yours. It's yours to keep. Why? Because when it was swept out to sea, the Gemara assumes Yankel Ben Barrel said, I'm never going to see that bike again. What are the chances? Right? It's washed out to the ocean. I'm Shein Lam Sof. So Hamatzel Mizuto Shoyam, if you recover something from the waves of the ocean, it's yours to keep. Even if there's a siman on it, a clear indication, because we know the person for sure has given up hope. So therefore, says the Bnei Saschar, Hamatzel Mizuto Shoyam, when something is beyond hope, right, and you recover it, it's yours to keep. Guess what's beyond hope at the end of every 6 days? The world. The world has no hope. Esav's world is about to self-destruct, back to Tohu Vavohu. Comes along Yaakov and he says, I will pull off a miracle and save the world. What's my miracle? Shabbos. So when we save the whole Bria through our Shmiras Shabbos every week, we save the world. We save the world from complete destruction. The world didn't have any other means of survival. And we saved it. And therefore the world is ours. And it's through our Shmir Shabbos that we're zochet to what? To everything that's during the week. And that's what it means, that Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha. That your behavior on Shabbos will impact all of your success during the week. Because again, it's Tolei and Shabbos, all of one's success. What's the halacha? He brings one more thing. What's the halacha? It's based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Tamach Tesem and Beis. Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Dalet Mem, 344. The Shulchan Aruch says a person's walking in the Midbar, he loses track of the days. He doesn't know what day of the week it is. So what should he do? Any Odeya Masayu Shabbos, the halacha says, count 7 days and declare Shabbos. What if it's Tuesday? Ma Kesher being Tuesday le Shabbos? The answer is, what do you mean Ma Kesher being Tuesday le Shabbos? What do you mean? Tuesday exists because of Shabbos. So it's not totally inappropriate. It's not totally, right, miscalculated to decide that I'm going to make Tuesday into Shabbos, right? Because there's an aspect of Tuesday that again has given kiyum, that has given kiyum to Shabbos itself. The Shabbos exists because the Tuesday exists only because of Shabbos, right? Yeah. Because the 6 days are totally dependent upon Shabbos. Okay. Right. Ayom yom, whatever day, but Shabbos, right? And this day exists solely because of Shabbos. Yeah. Okay, and he uses this with Radinsky Shlita. He uses this to connect the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. But again, we'll save it for another time. It connects Moshe Rabbeinu bringing down the Torah, Rashi at the end of the Torah, L'chol Yad HaChazakah, that Moshe was able to take the Torah back to Bereishis, which Svarim say is Rashi, the letters of Bereishis is Yari Shabbos. It's Dafka B'schus the Shabbos that we actually were zochet to the Torah based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Pei Tesem Aleph, Moshe and the Malachim fighting. But again, it's a little more of an arichus to explain that. But look what Shabbos is. Look what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the ben zug of Klal Yisrael. The other tachlis of the Bria. The other thing that gives life to the Bria is Shabbos Kodesh. Yeah.
You're saying that there's an aspect of Shabbos that's what the Kishmisi is, that Shabbos in 7 days and Shabbos came in, and then the world is the world. But there's also an aspect of like us meaning having to make it Shabbos.
Right, right. It's okay. It's Rusul Delayla, it's Rusul Delatata. Shabbos is Kriya Bakaima, Shabbos is the heavenly Bayanafash, and then we have to also inject the world with Nefesh, turning Chomer into Tzura.
Is there a connection to
Eved Ivri? What do you mean by that?
6 years. At the end of the 6 year, it goes free.
Right.
It doesn't want to.
Okay, interesting. Not sure. Very interesting. Not sure. Okay, Heber, let's do two final pieces. Let's do two last pieces. There's so much to see. Let's go to Gimel. Let's go to the end of Gimel Dalet, the last paragraph of Gimel Dalet, right before Gimel Vav. His comments on Gimel Vav starts with Teira Isha Kitov. Just go back up one paragraph, V'im Tomer. Page Mem Aleph. V'im Tomer is the paragraph. A very sodistic question. We hardly had a chance to talk about anything revolving the chayit of Adam and Chava. There's a lot to see there, obviously. And the technique of the Nachash, and how we can learn from it to defend ourselves and protect ourselves. But he asks a very basic question, which I'm sure we all have. If Adam and Chava messed up in the end, that means the Eitz HaDaas was a bad idea. And why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu put such a poisonous tree, spiritually poisonous tree, in the world? He asks very straight, V'im Tomer, Lama Yivra Hashem Bria Ra Kazu Letakala. Why would Hashem put such a stumbling block in front of mankind, in front of Adam and Chava? Da, Ki Bria Zo, Kol Ma Shehifli Hashem Begolda Bechinasa, Kein Golda Bechinas Hasagas HaNefesh Ba'olam Elyon. Ki Lefi Es Atzmus HaTzarech La'adam Lenatzcho, Kein Yitos Charo. To quote Pirkei Avos, Lefum Tzara Agra. Realize that as challenging as that chait, that temptation of Eitz HaDaas was, realize that Keneged that man has the ability to overcome that. No matter how impossible it seems, no matter how difficult the Nisayon seems, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the means to grapple with it. And that is Schar V'Onesh, one of the three principles which the Sefer Yikarim of Yosef Albo says a Jew has to believe. Forget the Rambam's 13 for a minute. The Yud Gimel Yikarim. Rav Yosef Albo says a Jew needs to believe three things to be a from Jew. You need to believe that God created the world. You need to believe that Hashem gave us the Torah and it's a divine document. And you need to believe in Schar V'Onesh. That the things you do matter. The only way to have Schar V'Onesh, to have a system of Schar V'Onesh, is if what? Is if there's choices that need to be made. And Adam and Chava had a choice to make. And it was a difficult choice. And in accordance with the intensity of the challenge is the reward. Lefum tzara agra. In the language of Pirkei Avos, as he quotes here. In accordance with the tzar, with the difficulty, is the agar. Agra is the reward. If Shem says, if I can't give you big yitzharas, then I can't give you big successes. If I can't give you big temptations, I can't give you big and elevated spiritual moments in Ruchnias. There has to be a zel umazeh. So don't look at the Eitz HaDaas and say, oh, what a michshol Hashem put in front of the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to give you a big challenge in order to give you big reward. I have to give you big Eitz HaHaras in order to give you big opportunities. I have to put you in a world of such temptation and taiva, like the world in which we live, the impossibly difficult world in which we find ourselves, in order to reveal to you Pnimiyas HaTorah as it's being revealed in the world today. That's the balance of power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to maintain in the world. And he speaks about it quite a bit. Again, several of the obvious questions, the overarching questions of Bereishis that I'm sure we're all thinking of, right? In terms of Schar V'Onesh, in terms of man's free will versus HaKadosh Baruch Hu's all-encompassing knowledge, right? But again, that balance has to be maintained in order to make this game, Kivyachol, that we're playing, worthwhile. And therefore he says, Tzeyu Lamad Me'a Omar B'Sefer Zohar Kadosh. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, I'll quote a very famous mashal from the Zohar HaKadosh. The Tani references this so well. And I'm sure we all know this mashal. B'mashal ben melech asher tzivo aviv leval karov lazona. V'esazona tziva la'asiso livchon ben yechabit av yu yensham. The famous mashal of the Zohar. The father who says to his son, you're a prince. There are things that you can't do in this world. No matter how beautiful, no matter how tempting that Isha Zona is, no matter how accessible she is to you, because of your money and your power, don't give in to those urges. Control yourself. Then the king goes, and this is the whole chap of the Zohar, the very same king, the Melech, goes to the Zona and says, I'd like to hire you. I want to pay you to try to seduce my son. Because the king wants to test the resolve of the son. Is this child really fit for the Malchus? I'm not going to be the king forever. One day this son is going to have to sit on the throne. Does he have the characteristics? Does he have the noble nature of a Melech or a Ben Melech? And therefore he says to the Isha Zona, I want you to do everything you can to try to seduce him. And I'll pay you. to try to seduce him. But the end of the mashal is, the king says, if he is able to what? To withstand your temptations, I'll pay you even more. Because my simcha will be that much greater. Of course I don't want him to actually sin. I need to see what he's made of. So I have to test him. I have to test him out. Right? Sounds like a cruel test the father is playing on his son. But it's really coming from a deep place of love. And he wants his son to achieve and to actualize his greatness by overcoming that great temptation. And that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing to us. Hashem, in His great love for us, put some very challenging things, from the Eitz Hadas to that Isha Zona to everything else we encounter in our lives, in order to help us to achieve great levels. But Malas Chaim and Nitzchim, Ashrei Am Shekachalo. Praiseworthy is the nation that again is able to live in this, to live and to rise to this challenge, and hopefully to overcome this challenge. Okay, last but not least, I want to end. Again, this so much. But we'll end with Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel. Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel. We'll conclude here for today. And Chevra, you're always welcome to look at the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh of Shabbos. There's so much more to see. Take advantage of it now that you know his style a little bit. Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel. What page? Nun Hay. Vayomer Hashem lo yadun ruchi. The very sad, the very quick descent of man. Parsha begins so hopeful, right? And yet, vihinei tov mod. Only then and there it's tov. But eventually there's going to be mod, there's going to be yitzhar, there's going to be malachim avis, there's going to be a lot of failure. And Hashem kiviyachol has a lot of regret. Again, another obvious question that Rechaim HaKadosh deals with. He deals with it in Perek Vav Pasuk Hey. What does it mean God has regret? What does it mean Hashem changed his mind? Right? So many questions and just understanding the nature of Hashem's interaction with the world. But we'll end with this. He says, Vayomer Hashem lo yadun ruchi. Hashem says, I can't handle that anymore. Man is so bad and he makes such terrible mistakes, and Hashem is already moving towards the destruction of the world. Mikrezet tzarich magid. This pasuk requires much explanation. For Abu Sein Hazal darshu bo harbe drashos. And again, Chazal have offered many interpretations in the Medrash. Aval pshat akasuv lo noda. But just Pashup Shah, I feel, has yet to be addressed. Vinira. Shiachavi Lomar. Liyo Shahaya Shem is Naig Imbruav Lochriach Ulihis Dayin Imahem Benigla. One of the greatest wonders that we gloss over in Parshas Bereishis is that when a person is messing up in the opening prakim of the Torah, Hashem is talking to them about it. They're sitting down and talking to Hashem about it. Hashem is speaking directly to the characters of the Chumash. Hashem is what? Lo chiyach. Hashem gives rebuke. Ulis dayein. Hashem sits in a din Torah. Right? Benigla. In a revealed sense. Vayomar Hashem el Nachash. Vayomar Hashem el Isha. Ula Adam Amar. Vayomar Hashem el Kain. Vayomar Hashem Ehevel. Hashem is talking to them as they're making terrible mistakes. Because Baruch Hu is interacting with them directly. Which itself says a lot about their madriga. Hashem saw, as man constantly disappointed and made the wrong choices, Hashem says, I can't leave it like this. I can't sit with each person and give them musar panim al panim. I can't judge man one by one. Hashem says, I don't have the time to sit all day, right, dealing with people and rebuking them. Uperish ruchi, what does it mean? I can't handle it anymore. Lo yadon ruchi. My spirit can't judge anymore. What does that mean? Hu shchinaso yizbarach. Shelo ya'od nechshav adam lahadraga zo. Man is no longer on this lofty level. The Chavetz Chaim writes in the Shmiras HaLashon, what a terrible punishment it is today that we don't have tzaras. You used to do something wrong, and you got sent a very clear sign that you need to change your behavior. Now you can do averos and more averos and more averos, and the Hester Panim allows us to just keep sinning without even realizing we're destroying Hashem's world. Destroying ourselves. We have no clue. So, in accordance with the lowering of the level, Hashem says, I can no longer allow my Shekhinah to reside amongst them and to respond to them directly. In accordance with our behavior, we lowered and lowered ourselves and disconnected further and further from Hashem. It used to be that every person was like a Navi. You spoke to God directly. But it was Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph when man started to mess up. Perish Nischal Nasachulin. When man started to live a life of Gashmias, and man moved away from what we started with, turning Chomer to Tzura, as I'll come back to one last time in this paragraph. We lost that madrig of Nevuah. Uvehemshech hazman hanitzanim niru ba'aretz. The thorns and thistles of our lives continued to grow, and the tzaddikim were few and far between. Heim tzaddikim shechziru atara liyasha. Yes, there were tzaddikim who tried to maintain the connection. Umishacharav hamaon nistam chazon v'nashar bechinas ruach hakodesh. But eventually, we lost Nevuah. We still had ruach hakodesh, which is lower than Nevuah, and eventually, we lost that as well. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh. We don't have a Reach HaKodesh. We don't have a whiff of it anymore. We could walk around our whole lives wondering if God even exists because of our lack of direct contact or interaction with Him. V'zohi tzaras beis Yisrael she'ein l'mala mimena hatzmeim l'hariach reach avinish v'shmayim v'techin et ruchenu. How badly we wish we could just, Hashem, just show yourself to us. Give us a taste of who you are. Expose yourself to us a little bit. And from the Dor HaMabul, the world got really dark. And that's what we're facing today. Now look what it says here. How does the Parsha end? And again, you'll have a new understanding of why our world is so dark today. And there's such Hester Panim today. A lot of it is related to what? To something else that we see happening very much in our world today. Hashem tells us in the Torah, Bishagam hu basar. Because man is flesh, therefore Hashem says, I can't deal with him anymore. Which means the more physical you are. Specifically, he says what they were struggling with by the Ma'abal. Perish, Bishvil shahosif lahasiv b'teyuv musrach ba'avon ha'neyuv. Hu basar, ka'amor. Ka'amor b'inyan. V'Hashem sone zima umas midaber elav. Hashem hates znus. Hashem hates arayos. And if you're living in a sexually immoral world like the world we're living in today, of course there's no sense of God in the world. But it's also been adam. It's been adam la'atzma. Right? It's each man for himself. Which means the more that a person gives into his yetzer hara, specifically in this regard, and every person adam yodea maris nafsho. Everyone knows to what degree you've struggled with this, and everyone knows to whatever degree you've struggled with this, what I'm about to say is 100% true. That to whatever degree a person is involved in neof, in idolatry, in immorality, in any type of basar dik, the more gashmi, right? That he negates the bris basar between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it becomes so much more difficult to believe in Hashem, and becomes so much more difficult to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life, and becomes so much more difficult to care about anything that has to do with Hashem. Shabbos, Amunah, all these things fall apart when a person becomes involved in Znus, because Hashem is a Sone Zima. Hashem hates this. Hashem says, this destroys my world. And therefore, the more a person conquers that Yitzhara, the more he starts to actually hear a little bit. He gets a Reach Kodesh, and he gets a Ruach Kodesh, and he maybe even gets Nevuah, and he lifts himself back up to the point that he's reconnected, Panam El Panam, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that, he concludes, Od Yirtzal Derech Omer, like we quoted earlier, from the Akedas Yitzchak, Ki Atzadikim Ha'avchem Ha'chomer La'asos Ha'tzura, V'Arishom Ha'avchem Ha'tzura La'chomer, V'zehu Ivudan La'olam. The Rasha, the person who allows himself to, again, to take holy things, and to lower them, is the one who moves farther and farther away from Hashem and destroys Hashem's world. But the one who does the opposite is the one who constantly is reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and uplifting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. So we're Hashem. We should be Tov, because we are Tov. We should be Tzadikim, because we are Tzadikim. And we're Hashem. We too will dwell in the Or HaChaim, like we started with, the name of the Sefer. That we should feel the light of Chaim, the light of Torah, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the light of our very lives, as we give tremendous nachas ruach to the Borei Olam. Shkoyach.